to me, riding bikes was everything, right? And like it riding bikes changed my life for the better in every way possible. And it made me so happy to see that another person could experience that.
Hi, I'm Nathan Collins, and that was Joy Franco. Franco is a graduate student here at Stanford University. I had the chance to interview her for a piece I did for Stanford Medicine magazine. I found out that Franco is not your typical graduate student. For one thing, she's a mechanical engineer working in a neuroscience lab to study the sense of touch. For another, she's a competitive cyclist. And here's the third thing. When she graduated from high school, she didn't think she was ever going to go to college. Here's Franco.
So when I graduated from high school, I didn't really have any college prospects. So I moved out of the house and I started working full-time and living on my own. Over the years, you know, I really struggled to pay bills, struggled to be, an early 20-something-year-old trying to find her own way in the Bay Area and make ends meet. So I went in and out of community college for a while and had been out of community college for a while when I was talking to some of my cyclist friends about bike fit.
Specifically, the biomechanics of bike fit, that is, how your position on a bike affects your speed and efficiency. It was that subject that propelled Franco back to school and on her way to a bachelor's degree. But it was another experience with bikes that set her on the path to neuroscience.
So I went back to community college and was just in it, like really in it. And that first semester I was at community college, Kenyatta College in Redwood City, I was also racing mountain bikes still. And during a mountain bike race, this guy with a prosthetic lower leg passed me, and it was pouring down rain and mud. And I just was really blown away by the rider, his spirit, but also that someone could engineer a tool that would enable him to do something that he wouldn't normally be able to do. It kind of got me really interested in, you know, adaptive technologies for people who are mobility limited. I learned about neurally interface prosthetics, which is just so awesome, right?
The prosthetics Franco is talking about are pretty awesome. They include robotic arms and computer keyboards that people with paralysis can control via electrodes implanted directly into their brains.
And that sort of got me interested in neuroscience. And I learned about Stanford being an amazing place to study neuroscience. And so my first semester back at community college, I immediately was like, I want to go get a PhD at Stanford. and so that was, you know, spring of 2011. And then everything from there on out was just, what do I need to do to get a PhD at Stanford?
Of course, she did get into Stanford, and by the time she had developed an interest in using mechanical engineering as a tool for understanding neuroscience. She had also gotten four equations tattooed on the inside of her right forearm. One of those equations describes the shape of a heart.
So it's a very long equation that has 1, 2, 3, 4 components. I wanted to really commemorate that moment in my life because I had given up racing bicycles. I'd given up hanging out with my friends, and trying to get into Stanford PhD program meant that like I was working all day Saturday, all day Sunday. Like I never took any time off, you know? And so it was just 3 years of really, really hard work and sacrifice.
Today, Franco works in the lab of neuroscientist Miriam Goodman. The goal of her work is to better understand our sense of touch and why sometimes people lose their sense of touch. But because it's hard to study touch directly in humans, the lab instead focuses on minuscule worms called Cannerhabditis elegans, or C. elegans for short. They're about a millimeter long, and a lot of the lab's time is spent developing techniques and equipment for gently stroking the worms to see how they'll react. Some of their time goes to breeding different kinds of worms so that they can figure out how different genes affect the sense of touch. And a great deal of their time goes to simply feeding and caring for their worms. It is not always glamorous.
So the worms, they live on these agar plates. It's kind of like Jell-O. And on top of the Jell-O is E. coli. There's bacteria. You know, it's not dangerous E. coli, but we have to actually put the E. coli on the plates in order to feed the worms. We call it seeding plates. And you seed probably like 200 to 300 of them at a time. And that is definitely the most boring task. My favorite part of the job is looking at worms through the microscope. When you're on the microscope and they're moving around, it is just beautiful. And because the worms that we use, we have fluorescent fluorophores in them, it's really a glow worm that's moving around. And I just like can't get past how awesome that is and how awesome it is that that's my job.
But why does she do it? Because touch is so important to our lives.
Loss of touch sensation is horrible. You know, if you know someone who's gone through chemotherapy, it's, you know, pretty easy to connect with them about how chemotherapy-induced peripheral neuropathy is just a horrible thing.
Usually, people think of chemotherapy as the hard part of getting cancer treatment. But many who go through chemotherapy lose their sense of touch, sometimes permanently. And among Franco's goals is to help those people. Another goal is to help combat neurodegenerative diseases, including dementia and Alzheimer's.
Neurodegeneration is horrible. It is absolutely my worst fear in life to end up with dementia. My grandmother, she had dementia right before she passed away. And I can tell you from firsthand observation, it's really not something that you want. It's very, very sad and painful for everyone involved. And I sort of look at that and think, well, I have to do something in this world. I might as well help try to figure this out, or, you know, who knows, maybe one day we can figure out a therapy, or maybe one day figure out a cure. And that is definitely wishful thinking, because it takes a lot of work from a lot of people, but it is what motivates me to keep coming back.
To find out more about Franco and Miriam Goodman's Worm Sense Lab, read my story, Life in a Lab, in the latest issue of Stanford Medicine Magazine.